Hi, Jamie.
Hey, Iris.
Oh, good. Okay, great. That worked.
Yeah, that was weird.
I didn't even hear you the first time. It just was like you joined and then left. So I'm assuming you were there before it told me and I just didn't hear you.
And I said, "Hey, Iris," and like waited a while
You're
and
like, okay, well, no, I guess not. Hey,
yeah,
Iris.
because I was like, well, I actually was texting you to see if you had time to do the second question since it's like 8:30. But then when I saw your text, I thought, oh, okay, well, I guess we are. But then I thought, oh, maybe she sent this before. Or
There
something.
was
It's
just a
just coming through
lot.
now. Who knows? All
But here we
right.
are. So let's read your. Okay. Do you have any other updates? I don't think so because we just
No.
talked, but
Welcome to Girl, We Have to Talk podcast. Let's go right into the question.
people love it when we do that. So, what's the
Yeah.
question?
Okay. This is another Am I the Asshole question.
I
And
feel
I
like you're
love this.
always asking all the
I love this
asshole questions.
question so much because it really goes along with our theme of some other questions we've had that have to do with a certain subject, but I actually won't
Oh,
say what it is first.
okay.
And I saw a really good segment on The Daily Show that I think relates. Okay. Am I the asshole for not wanting to quit my job slash study to look after my baby full time? Question
Oh
mark.
God, no.
Okay, long backstory. I've been with my partner for 5 years. This was an unplanned pregnancy, and I only found out I was pregnant a month ago. I'm now 7 months pregnant. Eek with that emoji.
Same.
I was on birth control and actually had two pregnancies come back negative. One was too early in the pregnancy, and the other one was because of the hook effect. I have no idea what
Gotcha.
that
Me
is.
either.
As an added bonus, my partner and I never expected to be able to have kids naturally, as he had cancer a couple
Oh
years
my
ago, and
goodness.
during treatment, he collected and stored sperm that he was told were very poor quality. Plus, I have a big family history of cervical cancer and was supposed to have surgery to remove two precancerous lesions a week ago. And prep for that surgery was how I found out about I was
Those
pregnant.
are always the people who get
What?
pregnant. Those are literally always the people who get pregnant, where they're like, he had this and I had this and we didn't think we could get
Yeah, we never
pregnant.
wanted
Like,
to. Yeah, exactly.
and then
Okay,
you're pregnant.
so now, fast forward to now. Obviously, it's way too late for an abortion, and my partner grew up in a foster slash adoption system and got treated like shit, so that's not an option either. We've agreed to raise a baby together, but over the last couple of days, he's repeatedly brought up how I should quit my job and study so I can focus on the baby when he arrives. In theory, this would be fine. My partner makes enough money to support us, and my part-time job pays absolute shit, so I had initially agreed to drop my job but not my study. I'm in the middle of writing my master's thesis in bioscience, and if I put it down for a couple of years, the likelihood is that my contacts would no longer be available for research work. Not to mention that I was planning on starting my PhD straight after I finish, as it will be a direct extension of my master's study, and I already have conditional funding for my research that I will lose if I put the project on hold.
Gotcha.
My study is really important to me, and I feel like by giving up my job and losing a bit of my independence, so I don't want to lose this too. We've now had several huge fights because my partner says I'll be neglecting the baby and what in favor of my research, which I have no intention of doing. He's chalking up my resistance to baby hormones, and I want to check that I'm not the asshole here.
Okay.
No, he is the asshole, and this sucks because this is kind of a situation where you find out who you're really dating, who
Oh
you're
my
really
God,
with.
wait. Can I just say something that's like so controversial to
What
you?
you think that he she's the asshole?
No, I don't. But here's what I think. We just had a question, which for you guys will be like 2 weeks ago, where we talked about this couple. We're like the tattoo issue, right? And we were like, okay, like this is rude. Okay, but like remember, he was in the foster care system. He was in the adoption center. He got treated like shit. He has neglect issues. So
Yeah.
is he saying this from his own perspective and needing help? Now, I mean, in reality, I kind of just think he's an asshole, but
No,
I'm
I
playing
agree
devil
with you, but he's
advocate
still
here.
acting like an asshole. It doesn't matter. Like, he needs to deal with his own issues then. But,
Yes, that's what I was saying about the fucking tattoo lady. She needs to deal with her shit because it's like not a fair ask. I totally agree with you. I don't feel like this is a fair ask. Like, she already said she'll give up her job. It's a shitty job anyway. But you want her to put off her fucking PhD? She's obviously like a very
Yeah, I'm
smart
trying to
woman.
think about why I think this is a little bit different because that one felt more, I understood both sides and here I don't. And I don't know if I have good justification for that
You're just like, I feels how I feel.
other than it takes two to fucking raise a child. And with a tattoo, it's one per on one person's body. So that's the only difference I can think of. But like, why does she have to be the one that's going to be neglectful? What the fuck about him? What's his
Well,
role here? Like, yes, okay, so she doesn't make as much money, but like maybe she would rather keep the part-time job and have that pay for daycare or have that pay for a nanny
Sure. And she seemed kind of okay with like quitting the part-time job though. Like she didn't.
Yeah. And honestly though, I have known a cousin of mine who the wife, who also is my cousin, obviously through marriage. Mm-hmm. She said she assumed she would be able to get so much done when she had her child. And she was so wrong. I don't know why people
thought that. Yeah.
So I kind of do understand why, if they're not going to get other kinds of childcare, it's unrealistic to think that she's doing a really like bioscience. Like mm-hmm. that's really,
she's a smart person.
Yeah. And wants to get a PhD. So I think they just need to be realistic about getting childcare. And maybe that's really hard to do with also her not having the job. But then maybe I know people get frustrated that they're working a job literally just to pay for childcare. But if that's what you want to do, that's an option. Now, I don't sure. know if he doesn't like the idea of childcare and nanny, but then he can quit his job. I mean, it's not fair to say she has to because of her situation. And what if he decides one day, I don't want to be in this relationship anymore. And now she has no career options.
I feel like,
obviously, and this is a problem, because the reason he has a better job with better pay is because he's a man.
I think that she has, I'm curious about if she, I feel like,
or maybe they need to find, you know, a parent. Have they talked about, but I think the first question is he okay with some other kind of childcare besides yes. her?
I feel like they have to figure out some kind of a middle ground. But I think the problem yeah. is, like, even from her, so like two things. She kind of a little bit sounds like maybe she really doesn't want this baby. Like a lot of what she said is like,
I don't know that he does either.
I feel like it sounds like he does. And it sounds like
he has opinions about how the child should be raised. That doesn't mean he wants the child, though.
It kind of sounds
it, like again, from, because of his trauma, it may be triggering for him, but I wouldn't sure. necessarily agree with you. I don't think either one of them know what to do in this situation.
I think so. From what I've heard, like what I would take just by listening to this, and this might just be my own bias, it sounds like he's very like, and the reason I think he's okay with having the child is because there's no change to his life. I actually do, like, from the context of what she said, I think that he's, like, fine with it. There's no change to his life except for, like, that she's going to not work her crappy part-time job, which probably in his mind doesn't really help them out at all anyway, because he's not intrinsically valuing the ability mm-hmm. to go outside and talk to other people other than children.
And also, so, like, upward mobility.
Yeah. So like, I think that he's just like, I think he's probably fine with it. Like, I'm not saying he's like thrilled, because I, mm-hmm. I can't tell, but like, it doesn't sound like he is as like triggered by this as she is. She sounds like,
he does sound really triggered to me. I disagree based on his own upbringing. Just like you said.
Yeah. But I don't think it's triggered in the same way. Like, he seems like he wants to make happy families. She seems like she's thought of like, could I have had an abortion? No, I don't. We can't do an adoption, which it sounds like is mostly because he doesn't want to do an adoption because of his background. And she's being very kind and saying like, I would not do that to him. Okay, great. Perfect. You're lovely. I don't know. Like, maybe it sounds like when she ran through that, I was like, it sounds like actually she feels like this is actually a really big hindrance to her life. And I don't actually think that that's bad. I think that a lot of women, more so like the more that I think about having children and I like talk to other people my age, like a lot of people feel very afraid of children, like the mm-hmm. birth of them, the raising, like the soul, like there's like 2 million women out of the workforce now due to COVID.
That's what I was talking about yeah, with the like, Daily Show is that women, I think they said it's been an 80% reduction because of childcare.
Right. So like, I feel like it is, I'm not saying like she's wrong at all. I'm just saying that like, I think that this is, he's like it's typical dad shit. Like, if you ever watched the movie where the woman is like very freaked out about like every single thing, like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Because like, mm-hmm. I don't want to say traumatic, because I actually really do want to be a mom, but I'm so afraid of it because that is it's a trauma. But like, I am basically voluntarily saying I would like to put myself through trauma. And like, for the guys, like, they're very just like, oh yeah, like, you know, I like, they're cute. Like, it's very little of the work is put on to them.
Well,
so like,
yes.
So mm-hmm. I, like, in my mind, from what I'm listening to, he's just like, of course you should quit your job and you don't need to go to school either. And like, silly woman, you will feel better once the hormones are died down. Like, I really truly don't think he gives a
fuck.
Like,
again, I think, like, this is about misogyny, sexism.
He's like, you won't feel better.
Patriarchy, like, all those things, right? You just feel this way
because of the pregnancy hormones. Like, of course you will want to stay home and take care of this child. You don't need to get your PhD, silly woman. Like, that is literally what it sounds like he's telling her. And, like, he's just kind of like, this will be no bigs. Because for him, it really won't be any bigs. Like, every single thing that is going to have to change in the situation is literally her. She has to quit her job. She has to give birth. She has to have something inside of her body that is an alien. Yeah,
he doesn't have any understanding of that at all.
There is an alien who resides inside of her right now that she found out so late about that even if she did decide she would love to be a mother and love to have this choice, it is now not a choice. She has no choice, no agency. Like, no choice. She found out too late. There is literally nothing she feels empowered to do by this. And now, the only two choices she did have would have been to, like, continue to work and have,
and
like,
he's taking that from
and
her.
He's taking it from her, and like, he seems very nonplussed. Like, basically what I heard when you read was like, he doesn't give a fuck because nothing's happening to him. It's literally just like, yeah, like, we're gonna have a baby, okay? And like, it sounds like he makes decent money, so he's just like, yeah, and I'll pay for everything. Now, that's another thing guys think about. They're like, yeah, I'm gonna pay for everything, and it's like, but we're never gonna go on another date because now we don't have any extra money, and we're never gonna do anything, and we're not gonna be able to if we had like an occasional housekeeper. We can't afford that anymore because I'm expecting you to make all meals and clean everything and cook everything. And I really think, like, I'm envisioning this for her, and it's freaking me out. So like, I don't think she's being an asshole at all.
No, I agree.
I think that he is, you know, like, he, like I said earlier, he may have some trauma due to his, like, work stuff, like, his history of things. But I think that, like, also, he is, obviously, whatever happened to him in the foster care system, in the adoption system, at no point was it his father's fault. I'm like, it doesn't sound like he put any of that blame on his father based on how he's expecting her to change and how he's expecting her to do things.
Like, that's an interesting point. Everything
seems to be that, like, what went wrong in his life was because his mother could not take care of him. Because obviously he's putting this all on her.
Well, like, it's all of her and thing. Yeah, and what's so interesting is, and this is part of the problem with sexism, is that men are often erased out of the picture, and we use a lot of passive language. So he may have the narrative that his mom gave him up. Mm-hmm. And because there's no mention of a father in that language. Of course there is a fucking father. Yes. But that's a really important point that I think is really kind of high level, to be honest with you, because it's not something we talk about a lot, but that is so true. And I like how you're connecting that with how he's looking at their relationship and how what she should give up versus what he should, which is basically nothing.
No, nothing. Everything is going to be just fine.
Right.
Because nothing's
going to
change.
But it's easy for him to just justify, well, but I make more money than you. So obviously, without going into these larger issues. And unfortunately, I think when women present this to men, like you're presenting it, a lot of times they don't want to go there. So it's going to be interesting if she's able to articulate it for herself even. And then if she's able to articulate it for him, will he even go there with her?
And I kind of feel like if you don't have this conversation and come to some resolution, just based on
the resentment's going to build, and this is not going to work. Yeah, it's just going to get worse. I mean, this
but
reminds
then also
me
what sucks
of
is that she's going to still be stuck being this kid's mom.
Exactly,
and that kind of makes me.
But
feel
what
bad
could for her. What could end up happening is this could be the best part of her life having this child. So I hope that's true.
Oh my god,
I hope it turns that, around like every, that, I'm regardless of whether sure. she stays with this partner or not. Because I think we both are like, this guy, we don't know.
Sucks.
If, yeah,
I don't love him. Like, I think he needs help.
Yeah, and it's just gonna get worse. Because I can't tell you how many like couples, like actually, I don't work as much with couples, but with individuals who have this, women that I work with, who are with partners who are not putting in the effort. They're in heterosexual relationships with men, these women, and they're not, and it just gets worse when they have kids.
Well, I think that's why a lot of millennial women, like, I was just watching Married at First Sight, and like, two of the women on there, their husbands are like very adamant that they are like wanting families, which honestly, like, I think that that's great. Like, I think wonderful. Like, if you both agree to have kids, cool.
Yeah, but like, they don't think about all that goes with it. They just want to plant like their seed and whatever. Mm-hmm. And we say that's a biological thing about men. I don't think that's I think it's more society and culture, but like, yeah, maybe some of it's biology, but whatever.
It's like, I just love that it's like they're like the millennial women and like a lot.
And they're like, well, wait a second. We have to talk about this and how is this going to work?
And like, yeah, that's great. Very, like my whole life, like if you talk to anybody who I've been friends with, like I was very child free from literally, I'm not exaggerating, the age of like 9. I was like, I'm never going to have kids.
Me
like,
too.
I just don't want to.
I was the same
and like,
way.
As I've gotten older, like now, like I'm in my 30s and I'm like, I do think that I want to be a mom. Like I feel that calling, like,
yeah,
I never felt
I'm still
like
ambivalent,
it would
but I'm not like totally against it.
But you know what? There's a, I follow
like,
this
never.
Page on Reddit called Fence Sitters. And so like, I think that that's kind of what's helped me change my mind. Not that you are going to, but I'm just explaining like my, like what, how I got here and what happened. Is that like I'm on this page and I like am noticing like I thought that I didn't want to have kids because like I didn't want to like I didn't love the idea of being pregnant or like love the idea
of
staying
home.
No,
it's because you didn't love the idea of raising a child on your own without a partner.
Yeah, well, but also that too. But like it's that. But then also again, it's the like I didn't love the idea of being pregnant. I didn't love the idea of like being a stay-at-home mom. And I've always and you we've talked about this several times on the podcast. I think I have a very feminine energy, but I definitely think I'm a very strong woman. And I think that a lot of the times when you see somebody who's like really strong and like direct and blunt, it's like, you don't have like the mother thing. That's why everybody's always, like, people have said, you'd be a better boy mom. And so like,
yeah,
when you
I totally disagree
this,
with that because like, that's just, so, I don't know. There's so much isms in there, sexism.
Yeah,
and
totally.
I don't know.
So like, I've always just felt those things aside to me. And it was like, well, if I had, like, if the choices are right, you are a mother. And so therefore you have to be like this soft thing. And I was always just like, I want to be a tough thing. Mm-hmm. And I want to have a job and I want to work hard and I want to like make money and be upwardly mobile. Like I want to do those things. So it felt like it had to be a choice. And so like the nice thing about like hearing more women who are in our generation is that like a lot of them are expressing the same things that like I'm afraid of, but they're like, and I want to be a mom, but I just don't want to be like the caricature that it was made out to be. And I feel like I'm hopeful that like our generation can be people who like change that because I think a lot of my fears
oh yes, from I definitely like, agree. I mean, I think more and more, yeah, like, I mean, you see, like, for example, what happened in the UK and women are talking about violence against women with this passive language
oh
and how
goodness,
it's like
yeah.
woman is stabbed instead of man stabbed woman. Like what?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Are we talking about that awful situation where the police
yes.
officer kidnapped?
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
So, I mean, I agree. I think the younger generations, I mean, and I don't want to say like our generation hasn't done some work too. I think actually, and generations before us, right? It's all of what we're allowed to do based on culture and society. So our generation, older generations, we paved the way for the younger generations, I think, to just be like, I don't give a fuck. I can be single or self-partnered or uncoupled.
Yeah, totally.
I could be with multiple partners. I could be with, you know, I can be gender fluid, like all these things, right?
And like, I can be married and want to go on a girls' trip to Europe with my friends. And like, I
yes,
can be a mom.
Yes. So I hope
and,
that
like,
continues.
You know, work.
And I think
and
what
that,
that's going
like,
to do
I hope it will too.
Is going to just grow that single, uncoupled, yes. self-partnered community even more as people realize they don't have to be stuck in monogamous situations. And I don't mean to say stuck like monogamous is bad. I think it does work for some people, but I think it works for less than what we assume it does.
And also though, I want to add too, as a person who's not like self-partnered, because like I realize that I do have a little like a privilege with that, but I also want to say that I talk to like some other people who are married and it's like I was talking to Julie and she was like, oh my God, I can't believe you never went to Europe. She's like, well, now you're married, so you can't go. And I was like, what?
No,
like,
she didn't
right. so,
say
like,
that.
No, yeah, but like,
so
but that's
sad.
Like, I think, well, yeah, but like, I think that that's just like our idea of what marriage is, right? Like
oh, exactly.
you get married and now you have to like go
exactly.
on these trips.
Exactly, now
like,
you're trapped. This And this
yes.
is also why I'm so ambivalent about being in a relationship because
but that's
my life
I'm
is so
for.
Amazing at this point
yes.
as a self-partnered person that I'm like, but, I don't want to give that up.
Right.
And you're
and
right.
That's
you
why
shouldn't
I
have
want to.
Be I mean,
more
but,
like a person. Yeah. But
yeah.
I want to be the person who's married and like more like how, not that my marriage is perfect. That's not what I'm saying. But
yeah.
like, I, it never occurred to me that like, I like couldn't just say to Mike, and I don't think it would occur to him either, nor that I think he would be like, oh, I'll miss you. Like I'm going on a girls trip in a couple weeks. And he's like, okay, so tell me where you'll be. And like, let me know if you need me to pick you up because you like hate them and you don't want to be stuck with them anymore. And I'm like, cool.
That's
perfect.
Awesome.
Thanks for the backup plan. But like at no point was it like, well, you can't go because you're married. Like, of course. Like if you and right. I were like, we want to go to Europe. Mike is a terrified person to fly. He's terrified of flying. Like,
oh,
he
no, would never hold that's me so back. Hard.
Yeah, like he would never be like, you can't go on a trip to like Italy where I like would love to go with your friends, because like he doesn't really want to go. And even if he did want to go, he'd be like, oh yeah, totally, like have fun with your friends. Like I don't ever have, and it's because I think Mike and I grew up together, like we've been in a relationship for so long, it's never been established that like, oh, like you now need to die because you're married. And like, I'm just married. I'm not dead.
Although I do think it's true that you do give some things up, right? Like, because sure. You do have to compromise. You do have to make decisions together, person. Right? You have to make time. And so I think, oops.
No, I'm still here. Can you still hear me? Okay, great.
No, sorry. My headphone came out. So that's why I was like, I think that like we do need to be honest about that. And I think for some people that is why they choose to stay self-partnered or uncoupled, because mm-hmm. they actually would rather, they don't want to make that, to them that's more limiting than it is they're gaining. I think for people that relationships work, they're gaining more than what they're losing. And of course that's what society and culture says is, well, if you're alone, it's going to be horrible, whatever. And if you, I don't know if you know the movie The Lobster, but they, you know,
but I know the lobster,
you know,
like I know the lobster, like, you know, about the partnering of lobsters, but I'm your lobster.
So there is a movie called The Lobster, lobster? Where they're in I think it's The Lobster, and, it's really good cast. And I can't remember either one of their names, of course, Rachel Weisz. And then, the guy who was in Bruges, and he's kind of a jerk, and I forget his name. Colin Farrell.
Okay. Yeah.
So they star in it. And the concept is, it's like a dystopian society in the future that you have to partner. And if you don't by a certain point, and this is true, even if you lose your, like if your partner dies, because I think for Colin Farrell, his wife has died. But after a certain amount of time, you have to, it's really dark. So if you, I'm just warning you, it's really good. It's really good. It's funny, but really, really dark. I think, his wife dies, but he ends up back there because after a certain amount of time, if you don't couple up, they put you in a hotel and you have to find a partner in the hotel. And if you don't, you get turned into the animal of your choice.
Oh.
And so he chooses a lobster because they live for a long time and they mate for life. When he's asked, if you don't find a partner, what would you want to be? So that's why the movie's called The Lobster. And at this hotel, it's like this really creepy hotel, and they're kind of forced to like interact with the opposite sex to try to find someone. And they do this presentation where they show you why you should partner. And of course the presentation is someone's by themselves eating and they choke and die. And then show like someone eating with their partner and getting the Heimlich and they live.
Oh, perfect. Well, there you go.
And this is exactly what society culture tells us.
Totally.
It never gives us why it's good to be on your own.
Yeah.
Which is just as good as being in a couple.
I think so too.
But that's not how it's portrayed at all.
Yeah.
So then people who end up being on their own end up feeling like something's wrong with them.
No.
And they have all these people that look at them, that tell them that too. And it's not that you can't rise above that. I think I've learned how to do that, but it took me so long. And even when I tell people that, they look at me crazy. Like I have this shame about being on my own.
I don't think so at all. You just don't know because
you haven't been through it.
And I think that you can, I feel like there's just a lot. And I feel like maybe that's like an interesting episode. I know we did the episode with Aaron about being single in your 30s, but
not specifically about shame, although I think that was coming up for Aaron in our conversation for sure.
Because I think there's that. And then I also, so like, I feel like it's one of those things. And this is again, me saying like, it's totally different from being self-partnered. But I also think that if you are married, there's a lot of expectations that people have for you. And I think that a lot of people
people
choose to be.
Yes, how you will carry yourself in the relationship.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that if you choose to be single because like that's just what works best for you, great. But I also think there's some people who choose to be single because they feel like, if I do get into a committed relationship, like you said, I'm going to lose a lot of things. And I would say that like,
they don't know how to do that. They don't know how to be in that role. Like for me, I just find so much white male supremacy in dating, and I just don't want to be a part of that.
But I feel like if you, and this is not to be like, everyone should try this. What I am saying though, is we're living in a society right now where you can find something that you can find your lobster. Like if you choose
you
to,
can,
like,
but you what you have to go through, Iris, is the problem.
And that's why I think, but I feel like if we would, I hope that one day we'll all be like opening our minds to like, Bree's been on here before and like talking to her just about like polyamory and just like even beyond that and like what comes with that and like how other people are doing their relationships. And then also when we look at like other cultures, like I was watching the show yesterday about people in Tanzania and like how they approach their relationships. I feel like because of, like you said, the patriarchy here, we're so limited. And so like it's like you don't need to be in a relationship, of course not, but also like if you do choose that you're like, oh, I have this person, I'm interested in pursuing this, like you do need to compromise, but like also like don't stop yourself from like being happy if like find somebody where like if
you're
choosing to do
it. I think that's
it.
Why I'm still on my own, because I haven't found that person that the compromise
and
is
I
worth
feel
it.
Like that's a better option than settling.
No, I agree. And not that it should be one or the other, because honestly, I think that's sometimes how we portray it is like, well, you're going to have to be on your own. So you don't, but I actually think what I'm learning is being on my own is so incredibly amazing. So I think there could be a point that there could be a tipping point. And I already feel like I'm there in some ways, honestly, where I just think actually being on my own is what I prefer.
Mm-hmm. And I think also that,
and that's okay too.
Yeah,
you know?
It is. And I feel like if you ever do decide to or find someone where you're like, wow, this is worth it.
Yeah,
that's
I think
like
it would just
a...
take it an absolutely extraordinary person where maybe I could still kind of feel like I was on my own, if that makes sense.
Well,
like,
and also,
for example,
like
I
was...
really don't imagine that I'm going to share a bedroom with someone. My sleep is such an issue that I just don't think that's realistic for me.
I mean, but historically, lots of people don't. And I like, that's the thing is like, I'm just like, I feel like I don't ever,
you would think
you
that is
me,
true, but I've never in a dating situation ever felt like I could say, hey, is this something now I'm going to,
I can't wait until
I'm going
to
stand behind
here.
That.
Like Jen, like had this boyfriend for the longest. I told you about this guy and they were like, seriously, they were like, okay, great. We'll move in together, but we definitely need to have at least a 4-bedroom place because we both need our own personal rec rooms and our own personal bedrooms. And like, well, you know, and we're still in love, we're still together, and like that's just what works best for us. Like Jen would never share a room with somebody ever. Like I mean, every time, that's why I think that like a lot of the things you say to me are not surprising, just because I was I've been friends with Jen.
Well,
for so
I know. I mean, we've been talking about, well, and also I think you're right, and this is why I need more people in my life like Jen. And I know we're sort of already friends, even though we haven't ever met.
She's going to be here in 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
Does she know that we talk about it like
this,
Iris?
Yeah, totally. She listens to the podcast.
And she's open to it?
She knows.
Oh, okay.
She knows.
but I think some of it is like, because I think, you know, we talked about culture changing, but some of the clients that I work with are still struggling being single. I think because they're, even though culture is changing, they're in more... they're in more traditional kinds of circles of people. And I think for me, that's been the case. And I've really had to work to find people that are more non-traditional, which I think has happened as I've gotten older, but that just wasn't what was happened to be around me growing
and
up,
that
if that makes sense. So,
and
that
makes
a
you
huge difference.
Like,
so just
so
like
awkward.
You're saying, having that one friend that opened you up to all these different possibilities can change. And I have had friends like that. So I've been lucky, but I haven't had enough. I've still had too much of that traditional influence. You know, for example, I had a grandfather who, unfortunately, I kind of decided not to have much in my life, even though he's still living, because every time I see him, inevitably, one of the first questions he asks me is, are you married yet?
No.
When are you getting married? Do you have a boyfriend? Like, so he doesn't really care about me. That's what it feels like. He doesn't care about me as an individual, only if I'm in a couple with someone.
Yeah. And I feel
which
like that's
is
so limiting.
It feels so like that makes me feel like I don't matter at all. It really hurts. And I know what he's meaning to say truly and honestly, but I can't
help how you feel.
I mean, I think now that question would maybe hit me differently because I don't have as much shame as I once did, but I had to get rid of that shame because it brought it all up. And I mean, I was talking to a client about this. I mean, it's literally the stuff that I would think in my head was so cruel, just so cruel. You know, you must want this. You must want to be on your own because you're acting like it, because you're doing things that are destroying relationships.
Yeah. So and I feel horrible. Like that's a lot of stuff that people put on women anyway, but.
Oh, yes, I agree. And I think so. Then that, and I've had to talk to about that and really stand behind it. Even when people are like, oh, you have shame. Why? Are you fucking kidding? Mm-hmm. Every woman has shame around relationships.
Totally.
Whether they're in one or not.
Yeah, I agree. But I think ultimately, like, you are on your path and it's like very, like,
yes,
honest.
It's very empowering. It is. I'm so glad that things have turned out this way, even though it's been hard.
Yeah. And I think that it's, you know, if you were just left alone, it might have been less hard. Like if you were just able to be like, this is what feels right, rather than everybody else's expectations.
No, I agree. I agree.
So, but you know, like that's the sucky part. Oh, but okay.
And also I would say I have a sensitive nervous system because I would say that I did have a good amount of influences that were less traditional. Even though I mentioned my grandfather, like my parents were really pretty, always pretty open. So I think some of it is my sensitivity to shame. And I think it's also generational.
Totally.
So, that I picked up on the negative stuff more on the mm-hmm. positive stuff, which I've done. I think I've done a good job of changing, but that's just not where that's so,
it's hard to start.
It's so ingrained. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so ingrained in who I am to kind of focus more on the negative and try to fix it than look at like the strengths that I already have. So I've had to really push to like reverse that. But there's still a lot of old stuff still there.
Well, I feel like you are...
We went into my psyche kind of deep there.
No, that's good. I mean, okay, back to this lady's question because we want to end this and make it a short episode. He sucks. You're not the asshole. Well, I don't have any...
Basically. And is he willing to go there with you to understand privilege and patriarchy and sexism? And if not, I'm really sorry you have this child. That's a hard thing. But
I hope that you love your child and it's like...
I hope it's like my breakup where my dog was the best thing that came out of that.
And if not...
But I am also trying to not relate a child to a dog. Okay, that seems a little reductionary what I just did there.
That's kind of what we do. The dogs are babies.
She's really my baby. And I will say babies can eventually tell you what they need and dogs do not, which is very stressful.
So you always have to be there little. You have to be like, are you okay?
Right. So I'm always like, are you maybe dying or like, is that normal? I don't really know, but we're going to keep seeing. And I guess if you keep if living, then I guess you're not dying.
I look in Katie's eyes every single day and I'm like, are you okay? Do you feel sad? Are you happy? I asked him.
Are you safe?
I asked Mike yesterday. I was like, do you think she needs therapy?
Oh my gosh. It was so funny when we were looking at the houses, because this is so much about her. And you know, she, since I've been back home from Austin, like has been refusing to go out when it's cold or rainy. And I'm just like, I'm trying to get you the house.
I'm trying.
I'm sorry. Like, I know. So we went into the backyard of the whole house, which didn't have an open house, but we totally went on the mm-hmm. property. We didn't care and like looked around, and she proceeded to go in the backyard and immediately start eating the grass. And I was like, I'm so glad I'm getting you a backyard.
She loves it. I'm telling you,
you deserve it. You're just going to eat all
she's going to just figure out like, do I love this? Do I not? That's what Katie does. And then she just eventually lays down in the sun and just enjoys herself. They love it. And it's just, I think it'll be great for Maya. And, you know, her and Katie will never be able to hang out because Katie's crazy. And even if Maya did like other dogs, she probably wouldn't like Katie because Katie's nutty. She needs to get a little bit older. She's a toddler. You're a toddler, right, Kate? You've got a lot of energy and you're aggressive. But they can be like still neighbor dogs. They can send each other pictures.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I don't think they're a match. We did try a play date with Lily, and even that was challenging, I would say. Not that it wasn't – I wouldn't say it was unsuccessful, but we were maybe talking for like 20 minutes, and she probably lunged like five times.
Oh, and you know what? Katie's not
– Which she didn't – but she didn't bark.
She's like,
and
what's
she
going
did,
on?
Like, she did recede. She did take treats. She was really good with Heidi. It was just when Lily showed her any interest mm-hmm. where they got too close, Maya was like,
boundaries.
No.
Boundaries, girl.
So
– No, and Katie
so I think,
is like the worst mm-hmm. because like if she sees a dog, she barks at the dog. And
Maya, that's the worst for Maya.
And then
because if honestly, Maya needs a dog that like will just completely let Maya be in control.
I know. Maya, Katie's a herder. So she's like, hey,
and
let's
even
run,
Lily,
let's play.
Even Lily, I mean, you know how docile Lily is. But because Lily showed a little interest, Maya's like, nope. Mm-mm.
No, no.
I'm not ready for that.
We're not that close.
And also, I think she's not as good with females as with males for whatever reason, if I remember from her history. Makes sense. I don't know.
She doesn't like it. Katie, maybe you'll play with Lily. You guys can chase each other and she'll hide
from
you. Yeah,
they would probably be a good match.
She'll hide from you because you're a lot. You're a lot. See, they're like our babies. Anyway, guys, it was really fun talking to you. Have a wonderful day looking at houses today. Please keep me
Thank
posted.
Thank you. I will definitely keep you posted. I'm hoping to be able to put, hoping I like the one
no,
I'm putting,
I'm
honestly,
putting,
I'm putting a bid
I'm
in, but
two, I'm putting we'll that you're going to see both of these houses today and you're going to be like, oh my goodness, I want one of them. I want both of them. So I'm going to decide which one I like the most. And like, that's
well, yeah, I mean, that's true. It's hard to think that Hole will be as good as Crane because of the issues I've told you with Hole in terms of the bathroom,
but
who
I feel
knows
like you,
because
you, maybe the
Crane
energy.
Has in the pictures, the basement has like a curtain. So there's some crap behind it that really I'm like, what the hell
this?
Is that? And also there could be roofing issues. So it's true. We'll
I'm
see.
Just going to be like positive vibes that like, you're going to like
yeah.
both.
I love how I'm naming the streets I'm going to live on. That seems safe to do on a podcast, but whatever.
Okay, guys, have a wonderful day and good luck today, Jamie. Okay.
Thank you. Bye.